Well, good morning and welcome to part one of a brand new series that we have entitled, When You Pray. I want to pause right here, right up front, and just say that my heart has been torn and grieved as I, along with you, heard of and saw the tragedy involving George Floyd. And my prayers are with him and his family. My prayers are with this community, our cities, our nation, our world right now. We are praying for God's healing. And I'm just praying God will give me the right words to speak to you today. And I just assure you that God loves you and we love you and we stand with you. And I just want you to know right up front, I want to make this statement. And that is that God hates racism and injustice, and he loves all people regardless of race. I want it to be understood that I personally and our church stands against racism and injustice, and that we love all people regardless of race. I think it's fitting that I share with you a statement that was recently given by Dr. Tim Hill, the International General Overseer of our church, where he has called our church to pray for our country and to pray for healing and reconciliation. And I just want to share this with you. He made this statement regarding us praying for reconciliation and healing. He says, I unequivocally condemn racist acts against all people. Such actions should never be tolerated by a God-fearing society. Every man, woman, boy, and girl were created in the image of God. Regardless of race, color, or national origin, every living person has a soul. To bring racial reconciliation and healing to our nation, we must all work together and seek the face of God for his divine direction, intervention, and peace. Violence and destructive behavior do not bring solutions, but only create further division. And he goes on to say, as a family of believers, he's calling everyone associated with our church to pray for healing in our land. And in keeping with the many resolutions that have been written years ago as a church, and in keeping with what the Bible teaches us regarding racial injustice and God's great love for all people, let me just say that the issue, I believe, is not about skin, but the issue is about sin. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so I have prayed and I've asked God to help me to speak only what he would have me to say today, to give me his words in a time when words are so important. And our hope is that the word that I share will be his word, and that that word will bring to you healing and peace today. As I prayed, I was strongly moved by the need for us all to pray. And as I prayed, I sought God for what to say. And what I felt like I heard God say to me was, preach Jesus. So my goal, my hope in this series, and in today and in the next 6 weeks as we go into a 7-part series, is to point you to Jesus. I'm not here to point you to a man. I'm not here to point you to a party. I'm not here to point you to some human solution. I'm here to point you to Jesus, the Savior of the world who gives hope. And I believe that he is the answer to every question. He is the solution to every problem. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so as a pastor, I just want to say my heart just grieves for you. But what I can offer you today is the hope that is found in Jesus. And as I continue to pray, I felt very impressed to take us through a study of the Lord's Prayer. I believe prayer is so extremely important. And the Lord's Prayer is actually a model that teaches us how to pray. And I want to bring this to you each week. And there's 7 parts to this Lord's Prayer that gives us a model for how to pray. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to break this apart and just develop this. And in everything that is spoken in this, through this prayer of Jesus, I believe it points to the person of Jesus Christ. And that's my goal, to bring Jesus to you today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it's recorded what we know is the Lord's Prayer. And if you know this or have it there for you, you probably got this memorized. I want to read this to say this aloud together. And I'm taking the New King James Version of this prayer, where Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In Luke's account of this prayer, the disciples were asking Jesus, after they heard him pray, and they asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray, teach us to pray." And he used these words. He said, "When you pray," and then he modeled this prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 that we just read from earlier in this same chapter, Jesus said, "When you pray," don't be like the hypocrites. Go in your room, close your closet, and in that place in secret, you close the door of your closet in that place of secret. God, your heavenly Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly. So we see this phrase, "When you pray." And I just want to emphasize those three words. When you pray, something is going to happen. I believe that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, there's nothing to do except pray. All we can do, all is left, is to pray." Listen, it's not just a last resort. It should be our first response, because prayer, listen, according to James chapter 5, verse 16, tells us that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it produces wonderful results. So listen, when you pray, something happens. When you pray, heaven is moved and earth is shaken. When you pray, God listens and God answers. I believe God still answers prayer today. When you pray, things begin to happen in the heavenlies. When you pray, angels are dispatched and demons flee. When you pray, hearts are mended and lives are changed. When you and I pray, healing takes place and relationships are restored. And when you pray, and when you invite God into your circumstance, listen, his peace comes and he calms the storm. His truth comes and his light comes and dispels the enemy's deceptive and divisive schemes, and his loving truth illuminates our hearts and minds and sets us free. When we pray and we invite him to come into our situation, he enters our lives with his grace and his truth and his judgments and his justice and his mercy and his love. When you pray, listen, the spiritual prison is shaken, the doors swing open. When we pray, when you pray, when I pray, listen, our hearts are healed and we are changed. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14, God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Jesus said, when you pray, not just if you pray, if my people, Jesus said it should be automatic. When you pray, you should be praying people. We should be praying. And he gives us this pattern, seven parts in this prayer. And I want to take the first part today. In Matthew again, chapter 6, verse 9, he begins this prayer by saying, "Our Father in heaven." King James says, as we know, "Our Father which art in heaven." And I want us to see part one of this. I want us to see paternal love. I want us to see the Father's love. And the first thing that Jesus teaches us is that we can connect with God relationally. In other words, we can have a relationship with God in that we're his child and he is our Father. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. That word Abba means daddy. That's that kind of intimate relationship where we're not, it's not a formality, a formal thing. You're God and you're way up there far removed. No, it's an intimate relationship where we can call you daddy God. It sounds disrespectful, but what it alludes to is the intimacy, the closeness that we can have and enjoy with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus came to earth to reveal to us the Father. What a wonderful concept that he brought to people where they understood, came to understand that, that God was not just far removed, a God way up on this mountain, shouting out laws and decrees, but rather God was a God that wanted to have relationship with us. He is the same God that walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and he is wanting to have that kind of wonderful relationship with us. And Jesus often spoke about his Father and his love for the Father and the Father's love for him and his hope and prayer that we would be one with him and one with the Father, that we would be in unity together, that we would be a family. You see, God's building a family, not a family built with brick and mortar, but a family built with you and I. We are his family that he is building. But I want to share something with you and just a little bit of teaching here this morning. And first of all is this, that we are all created equal by God. And so from the sense that God is our creator, as a creator, we are all his children. In other words, he's created us. We are his creation. And in that sense, listen, we are all his children. And God loves all people. I remember the little song that I used to sing as a child growing up in church. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And how true that is. Jesus loves us all, and God considers us all his children in the sense that we are his creation, that he is our creator. But while yet we were created equal by God, and we are in God's children in that sense, let me just give you a truth. And that is, secondly, we are not all in God's family. And I'm speaking spiritually. Spiritually speaking, or we could say relationally speaking, we are not necessarily all in God's family. Because like the prodigal son who left the father's house, we have oftentimes left the father's house and we are not under his covering. We are not in his family. The Bible describes that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, and yet God has laid upon Jesus the sin of all of us, but we have all, like sheep, have gone astray. And since the fall, we have, of mankind in the Garden of Eden, we have lost our way. In other words, we've lost our relationship with God because of sin, and sin separated us from God. But look at what Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So God's on a rescue mission for his lost kids, right? But listen, let me underscore this. We are not all in God's family. So we're not all his children from a relational or spiritual standpoint. Even to the religious leaders, listen to what Jesus had to say to the religious leaders of his day. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. Now, that's pretty strong words. He was telling them that your father is not Father God, but your father is the devil. You have a different father. He said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So it illustrates that Jesus was saying not everybody is in God's family. In fact, John chapter 9 and verse 31, as we're studying this subject of prayer, it says that we know that God does not listen to sinners. Now think about that for a moment. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, to church people, I would call it, to people who were professing to be followers of Christ, who said, we did this for you and that for you, Jesus says to them, there will be many in that day where they will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things for you? And Jesus' response to them is startling, but he says, I never knew you to them. He says, I never knew you. In other words, you didn't have a relationship with me. And so it's very important we understand that just because we're God's creation, it doesn't necessarily mean we're his children from a relational or spiritual standpoint. But listen to this third point of hope today, and that is that God invites us all to be in his family. Isn't that wonderful truth? God has a plan of adoption, and God actually chose Israel, his chosen people. And we say, well, why did he choose Israel? Well, he chose Israel. He came through Israel, but his plan is to come through Israel to you and I, because he came to the whole world. He came through a family. He came through a Mary and Joseph family, right? And through that family was born to you and I a Savior, so that when we put our faith in this Savior, this is God's plan for us, that we will be heir to the promise and blessing of Abraham. Now, that's a whole nother teaching in and of itself, but God has a family, and there's blessings as God's promised, and we are heir to that. We are grafted into the vine, as the Bible describes. We are adopted into the family of God. And John 3:16, Jesus makes it so clear. He didn't just come for one group. He didn't just come for one race. He didn't just come for one people or one nation. Listen, John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And I love what Romans chapter 5 and 8 says. It's so beautiful. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, that's all of us, Christ died for us. Let me repeat to you again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit where he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Abba, Father." How does he adopt us in? It is through his gift that God the Father gave to us, his Son Jesus Christ, that we can come to know the Father and we can enter into relationship with him. We can be his children. We can be a part of his family. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 31 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." How wonderful, how beautiful is that? And John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human descent, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." How beautiful is it that we today can be a part of God's family? And that's the invitation today, that you can be part of God's family. You can belong to God. You can have a relationship with him, and we can call out to him. Now, the Bible tells us that he hears only, he doesn't hear the prayers of sinners, but yet when we call out to him in faith in Jesus' name, he hears that prayer and he comes and he has relationship with us. I'm going to look at one other part of that verse 9, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus demonstrates his prayer again, models his prayer, and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven," who is in heaven. I want you to know today that God is in heaven. He is sitting on his throne today, and he is in control of this world. And let me tell you, God is on his throne, and we can look to him in heaven. And may I remind you that this world will disappoint. This world will have its fair share of tragedies. This is an imperfect world. No one knows what one day will bring, what tragedy will bring upon us in one day. And surely we're seeing that in our times today. But I want to remind you that this world will disappoint. And that's why we have a hope beyond this world. One scripture says, "If in this life only we have hope, we are of all people most miserable." Listen, we don't have to be miserable today. And this world will disappoint and it will leave you miserable. But there is a hope in God in heaven. There is a plan in place to redeem us. And there is a master plan in place that's beyond just this world. And that's what gives us hope today. Our hope is in God. And that's why we pray, and we'll get into this another week, that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just want to preach Jesus, and I want to preach the kingdom of God to you, not the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom of God. And that's what's going to give us hope today. Let me just share this scripture with you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God is reaching out to you. In the midst of all that you're going through today, God wants to give you hope. And his hope is Jesus. His hope is Jesus. He will change your life. He'll change you from the inside out. He'll restore your soul. He'll heal your heart. He'll give peace of mind. Listen, there's nothing like following the Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to invite him in your life and become a follower of Christ today. I want to lead you in a prayer today. And if you're watching today, I encourage you to pray with me today, right where you are. And let me just help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. And in your one heartfelt prayer away from having this relationship and being in this wonderful family of God. Can I pray with you right now? Come on, just pray this prayer. Just say something like this. Say, "God, today I surrender my life to you and I give you control of my life. I thank you for sending your son Jesus so that I could have relationship with you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me so that I might live for you. I turn from my way to follow you. I accept you now. Forgive me for going my way. Today I follow you. And with all my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen."